I'm going to divert our attention away from Luke this morning. We promised an abbreviated service this morning. Some people said, what does an abbreviated service look like at Grace Church? Well, I promise this will be abbreviated service. Do that by taking you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at the application section of that letter by the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. He is writing this letter to a very healthy church, a church that is a strong church, a church that I pray we will be like, and I believe we are like in many, many ways. Maturity-wise, it's a very, very strong church. And at the end of that chapter, chapter 5, he gives us three statements, three commands that should characterize every believer. So if you're a believer, these are three things that you want to know, because we're told at the end of verse 18 that these are God's will for you. These are God's will for you who are in Christ Jesus. You see that in 5:18? And that statement refers to all three of these things here. Rejoice always, verse 16. Pray without ceasing, verse 17. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. So if you're a Christian, have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. These are commands that you have the capacity to obey. And they're our duty. You have doctrine and you have duty. Doctrine is the truth. Doctrine is the foundation to be in our thinking. It is what undergirds everything in our lives. The duty is the response to that doctrine. And that's what you see here in those things. These are the duties we have as Christians. My focus this morning is just simply on verse 18. In everything, give thanks. I just think this is a good day to talk about that. As Doug mentioned at the beginning, as David mentioned in his psalm, this is just a good day to think about giving thanks. And the events of this week give us great context to think about this whole truth about giving thanks. Listen, unbelievers are characterized by unthankfulness. Understand that. Unbelievers are characterized by being unthankful. Do you remember the story of Jesus with the 10 lepers in Luke 17? Remember 10 lepers, Jesus heals 10 lepers, and they heals them. Leprosy was horrible, horrible disease, horrible, incurable disease. Jesus heals these men, and they leave, but nine of them leave, but one of them comes back and is thankful, is grateful to Jesus for what he has done. And he, we're told, was totally cleansed, not just of the leprosy, but he's a believer. So it wasn't the fact that he was thankful that made him a believer. It was the fact that he was a believer and he was thankful. You follow that? That's the order. It's because he was a believer, he expressed thankfulness to Jesus for healing him. Jesus had given everything, had done everything for these 10 men, but only one of them was thankful. That is what should characterize a believer, thankfulness. The world is characterized by unthankfulness, ungratefulness. In this verse, verse 18 of 1 Thess 5, it says, give thanks in everything. That word statement just simply has the idea in everything that comes at us in life. It's a very broad word, very broad terms used there. Everything that comes at us in life. I got this verse in a, I gave it to Ann and I as a Christmas gift to both of us, but we put it above our desk at our house. This is this verse to remind us. In everything, give thanks, because our hearts are prone to unthankfulness and ungratefulness. And this is the will of God, that we be thankful in everything. That's very broad, a very broad term. No limits, no matter what it may be, we are to be thankful for it. Now, that does not include sin, but everything else should precipitate an expression of thanks to God. Romans 1:21, speaking of the unbeliever, says it like this, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks. And they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Listen, the world does not acknowledge God. The reason I can be thankful and you can be thankful is because of God, our Godward focus. But their focus is not like that. They are the masters of their own fate. They try to manipulate all of life to make it work out just how they want it to work out. And they try to speak in terms of being a victim of circumstances, get angry and fearful when things do not go the way they want them to go. But we operate differently. We can be thankful because we know what's true about God and His plan for us. And Romans 8:28 is important in this. We know that God causes all things, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God is taking all things and working them together for our good and for His glory. All things. That's everything. Everything that comes in your life as a Christian, God uses for His purpose and your good. His purposes and your good. He is conforming you to the image of Christ. There's nothing outside of all things. Nothing. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, speaking of how we should live as Christians, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. The summation of all the things that should be true about us as Christians is summed up in giving thanks. Thankful people. We're to be thankful people. Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Whatever situation comes at us, the greatest need is to pray, not forgetting that we're to be thankful. Illustrations from the Bible, Acts 16, Paul and Silas singing praises and thanksgiving. Expressing thanksgiving to God, sitting in a prison cell. Tremendous testimony to the jailer, by the way, and all of others. But the point is, they were doing that in unimaginable circumstances, horrible circumstances. 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul speaking about the Corinthians says, I thank my God concerning you. Listen, if there's anybody you wouldn't want to be thankful for, it would probably be the Corinthians. But he's thankful for them. He's thankful for them. He's thankful to them, to God. Always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. He's thankful because you know what? He understood. This is the key to it. He understood the power and he understood the purposes of God. You don't understand that, you're not going to be a very thankful person. Matthew 11, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All that Jesus had gone through was pleasing in the sight of God. Even the cross was pleasing in the sight of God. And he thanks God for that. And one more. Think about this one for a moment. Remember the scene at the Last Supper where Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and thanks God for it? Think about that. Think about that bread, what that bread symbolized, that bread, he is thanking God for the bread, which was essentially him saying, God, thank you for the privilege that I'm going to have as the bread of life to be broken and how I fit into your plan for sinners. He's the bread. He's the bread that was going to be broken. He was going to die. That bread symbolized that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not an option, it's the will of God. Let me just tell you a few things that keep you from being thankful, and I'm done. A few things that keep you from being thankful. One, you doubt God. You doubt God. This is a sin, by the way, but you doubt God. You doubt that He is wise. You doubt His love. You doubt His power. You doubt the fact that He never changes. You don't believe that He can overrule things. You don't believe he can overrule the problems of your life and bring glory to himself and your good. You don't believe that. That will rob you of thankfulness. That will make you unthankful. If you don't really think God's in charge, if you think you're just ignorant of that, or you don't believe that, then and you don't think he knows everything about everything, that he really loves you, then you are going to not be thankful. See, it's really tied into God. It's really tied into knowing God and what you know and believe about God. That's what determines whether you're a thankful person or not. If you don't know God very well, you probably aren't very thankful. If you don't understand his attributes, you're probably not very thankful. If you believe that God has the power to work in your circumstances to his glory and your good, then you're not going to be thankful. A second thing is just selfishness, plain selfishness. It's the attitude that says, no matter what I've got, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. Not only that, it's an attitude that says, you can't say, thy will be done. Think about that statement, thy will be done. If you're unable to say, thy will be done to God, like in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, like Jesus did in the garden. God, if this cup could pass from me, great, but not my way, but your way. I want to do what you want. Thy will be done. If you can't say thy will be done because you have a better agenda, because you have a better idea, and your attitude is, I don't care what God's will is for me. I want it to look like this. Then you're not going to be thankful. If you can't say thy will be done, think about that. You're not going to be thankful. That destroys gratitude. I want my circumstances different. I want my children different. I want my spouse to be different. I want my job to be different. I want everything to be different than it is. I don't care what God wants from me. That's what I want. That's what I'm talking about. That selfish attitude that robs us of gratitude. You have your own agenda. It's only when you want what God wants, whatever you want from me, God, whatever you believe, whatever, God, you give me what I need. You know what I need better than I know what I need. A third thing that will rob you of, make you an ungrateful person, is a critical spirit, just being critical. This, and folks, I really believe, and I've seen this in myself, this becomes a habit. This is a habit. This is a very bad habit that we get into, being very critical of people, just having a sour attitude about life. And sometimes it just comes from having unrealistic expectations about what you deserve. And goes back to the fact that you want to control everything. And therefore, that makes you, you're just going to be critical if that's you. And you can't do that. You can't control everything. And that bothers you. And that bothers me. I can't control everything. I can't control everybody. And that bothers you. And it makes you ungrateful. And that will smash a thankful heart. It'll tear down your love. It'll tear down your joy, your peace. It's a habit that we cultivate. It's a habit we have to break. We really do. But that will rob you and make you unthankful. Another one, I guess this is a fourth one here. Impatience. Wow. God isn't moving fast enough. He just isn't getting the lights turned on fast enough. It's just you want it now. You want it now. You got your timetable. This is your schedule. Goes back to things I've already said. I got my appointment book. He's not keeping those appointments. Let me just say this. Let me turn to page 585 in your hymnal. 585. This is the song I was telling you about. We're not going to sing it, but I just want you to see the words of it, because maybe you need to quit listening to yourself. Maybe this is another one. Like David, I told you earlier, like David was doing, quit listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. Maybe you need to do what this says and count your blessings. Notice what it says on page 585. It's interesting how this song is all about trials. Verse 1, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I'll read the chorus just one time here, but count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Now let me just read the rest of the verses. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. See, this is the reminder. I need a Godward focus that I was telling you earlier. This is what David was doing. He didn't want to give in to all the pressures around him, so he's all those burdens. So he says, I'm getting a Godward. This is David talking to David. Soul, this is how I want you to do. I want you to count your blessings, soul. I want you to think about God, soul. Soul, I want you to quit. I'm going to quit listening to you, and I'm going to start talking to you. Talk to yourself. Listen, who has the most influence in your life? You do. There's all these voices out there that are vying for your attention, but which voice has the greatest influence as your voice? Your voice speaking into your own life, into your own soul, and telling your soul, count your blessings, soul. Let's just stop whining and complaining and count our blessings. And he goes on, look at verse, where did I leave off? 3, when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven, not your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. May God make us a thankful people, right? God, make us a people that thank you in everything, as 1 Thess 5:18 says.